Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative, and United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org. It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm David Gustina. Joining us this week is Nancy Hagans, president of the New York State Nurses Association. You can find out more at www.nysna.org. Welcome to the Capital Connection, Nancy Hagans.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Nancy, it's the first time we've had you on the Capital Connection. I'm wondering if you can tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself. I see from your bio you were born in Haiti, and it says you had an eye toward labor at an early age.
Yes, I was born in Haiti, came here as my preteen, and, you know, it's always been about labor. My father was an electrician. He was an 1199 member, and when I was growing up, as you know, that there were times, you know, patients who were banned from donating blood. And I never forgot when we walked to the Brooklyn Bridge and demanded that patient be removed from the list of high risk for HIV. And we were part, you know, I was part of that coalition. And when I started as a new nurse, when I was told that I couldn't work on a unit because of discrimination issues, and I took them back to the union, and then I was told, oh my God, you're doing such a great job. You need to be, as a young nurse, you need to be active and you need to be involved. And that's how I got involved, by starting as a chap steward, then elected as the president of my local. And back in 2015, I was elected to the board of directors of NYSNA and was appointed the treasurer. In 2021, I became the president of the New York State Nurses Association. And I'm also the president of National Nurses United as well.
Before I get into what you were just talking about, which was discrimination, I wanted to ask you, being Haitian, what you make of the current situation in Haiti today?
Oh, well, it's demoralizing. It's really heartbreaking that we were a country, first black country to ever have our independence since 1804. Unfortunately, you know, we've done a lot of great work, but we haven't received the help to continue to move forward. The current situation is really sad. And most people, we don't really talk about it here, dying every day, every hour, every minute of violence, as well as poverty and hunger.
Can you explain to us, when they talk about gangs in Haiti, what that is, what these gangs are?
Well, the gangs are pretty much people, you know, in the beginning they said that they wanted to get rid of the government, but this particular gang, they just pretty much robbing, kidnapping, and chaos and violence, because we don't have a president per se, and then we really don't have someone in charge. And when you're in a situation when everybody wants to be in charge, this is what happens.
Now let's turn back to New York and the healthcare system. Certainly discrimination, as you have witnessed yourself, is and hasn't gone away from the healthcare system, right? I mean, there's systemic racism in many of our institutions in this country.
Correct. But when it comes to the, you know, healthcare, I call it the have and the have not. If you could afford to have great insurance, if you have enough money, if you have a lot of money, of course, you're going to receive the highest care. And as nurses, and we, myself, being a nurse for more than 37 years, my goal is always to deliver the highest priority care to my patients, regardless of the background, regardless of the immigration status or religion, regardless. But unfortunately, we don't have a single payer system. If we had a single payer system, then, you know, it would be, as far as I see, you know, we would receive better care. Right now, we have a staffing crisis where hospitals are not willing to hire enough nurses to care for patients, especially in the Black and the Brown communities and the rural communities. And that's very demoralizing for us as nurses to witness on a daily basis. That's why a lot of nurses are walking away from the bedside.
Yeah, and you had a coalition up here in Albany this week lobbying the legislature, rallying about safe staffing levels. This is despite a New York enacted law, right, 3 years ago that required hospitals to develop plans for safe levels of staff relative to the patients in their care. But nurses are saying that's not being enforced.
It's not being enforced by Department of Health. And we were here on Monday to demand that Department of Health do their job and be transparent. We had a law, and the law we thought was going to help us. And then it's been a year since Department of Health is supposed to be transparent. Go to the hospital and hold the hospital management, you know, they need to be accountable for the staffing. They have not done that. We've had over 1,200 complaints between all the union and Department of Health, maybe have seen 30 of them. And then there's no response, and they need it to be transparent, because when there's a complaint, Department of Health should investigate and post the result where it's open to the public. No one knows it. I'll give you an example. You know, some of the Albany medical nurses were there. Under the ICU intensive care regulation, there should be one nurse to two patients. There are times the nurses are caring for four patients, and that is a violation of the law. Where is Department of Health? So we were here on Monday to send a strong message to ask the Department of Health to do their job, to start holding hospitals accountable for the staffing crisis that they have created themselves.
Now, ideally, you'd want full-time nurses in those positions, right? And oftentimes, they have to hire temporary workers to fill those spots or not fill them at all, is what you're saying. And, you know, that's dangerous when you don't have enough nurses to care for people. I'm hearing all sorts of stories, anecdotally, of people waiting for long periods of time to get care. And you have suggested that a lot of the nurses are leaving the profession, and it sort of seems like a vicious cycle here. How do we get out of it? Is the answer to pay nurses more?
The answer, as I always say, more nurses, better care. The answer is to hire nurses, attract the nurses, and retain them at the bedside. And how is that being done? Is by having proper nurse-to-patient ratios. As a nurse, when you get up, we are the most trusted profession 20 years in a row. There's a reason for that. When we go to work to nurse and care for our patients. I've been an ICU nurse I've been a nurse 37 years, and out of the 37 years, I work in the ICU for 23 years, intensive care unit. My goal is to care for my patient. It's the most rewarding profession. When you walk in, you had a very, very sick patient where everybody was, you know, day to day, hour to hour. The next day, I walked in and I say good morning to that patient and the patient say good morning to me. That is my biggest reward. But if I'm not able to care for that patient and bring them back to life, that is my greatest defeat and disaster. Then you walk home feeling mentally and physically distressed. And you're going to say to yourself, I don't want to go back to that position where I cannot help to heal and care for patients. Taking care of a patient, if you're working in a med-surg unit, instead of having five patients, you have 10 patients, then I don't have the time to teach to make sure that patient is taking the medication, to make sure that patient who just had a cancer diagnosis, that I could sit there and teach them and hold a hand. Because sometimes I'll be the first to tell you, I cry with them. I laugh with them. I smile with them. This is a caring for a person is from head to toe. It's mentally and physically. It is impossible the way the hospital industry decide to do nurse to patient ratios. It is impossible for us to deliver safer patient care. Yes, we need to also be paid in order to care for our family. There's inflation. We have to be able to care for our family. We have to be able to afford a place to live, okay? Right here in New York City, we had a lot of great contracts where we achieved pay parities for the, you know, public hospitals. The private hospitals are semi-aligned. However, staffing is a big problem. No matter how much money you want to pay someone, but we need to still be able to care for our patients. Yes, we need to have good working condition. The good working condition, the most important part of the good working condition is safe patient to nurse ratio. That is the most, not just across New York, across the country. And we are sounding the alarm. Enough is enough. Because if we learn anything during the pandemic, I always knew we didn't have enough nurses. We saw what happened during the pandemic. It's us nurses who saved the state of New York, who saved the country. It's us nurses who went to work every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, leaving our children at home by themselves, not able to see them, not able to see our parents, because we had to do what we had to do. We would hope that the hospital industry would say, you know what? It's time to address the situation. It's time to attract nurses and retain the nurses at the bedside. Here in New York State, we have over 1 million nurses that are registered, but most of them are not at the bedside. They decided to walk away from the bedside, from the profession, because of the poor working condition. We don't have a nursing shortage. We have a problem of the hospital retaining the nurses, the good nurses at the bedside.
We're speaking with Nancy Hagans, president of the New York State Nurses Association, and you're listening to the Capital Connection. Nancy, your passion is coming through loud and clear here on the radio, and I think it's deserved. The nurses that I've dealt with friends and family members who have been through the healthcare system, many of them are like family to this day. So the dedication isn't questioned. The issue is when an article from the Times Union says there isn't necessarily a legislative solution to the problem, it falls solely with the jurisdiction of the Department of Health. Unless the agency can step up enforcement or hospitals begin following the law statewide, workers are at a standstill with the state. So are we going to remain at a standstill? Are you hopeful?
I am hopeful, and I am, you know, that's why I'm here having this conversation. And the message I'm going to send to the Department of Health, do your job, hold the hospitals accountable to hire and maintain nurses to follow the proper safe patient ratio. Because right now, if somebody loved one, when the emergency room is overcrowded with patients, and we want to care for our patients, but we want to have enough nurses to care for our patients. We need the department. If they were to do their jobs, and I'm asking them to put patients over profits, because, as you know, the healthcare system has turned into a profit. Because at the end of the day, no matter how short we work, no matter how hard we work, the CEOs are still getting the million dollars bonus pay at the end of the year, because we're still caring for the patients at our back. That when we go to work, we're not able to care for ourselves. I'll give you an example. There are times when I left my house for work, if I didn't have a cup of coffee before going to work, I would not have time to have another cup of coffee until I'm done my 12-hour shift. And that is not great. That is not good for our health, mentally and physically, okay? Being a nurse is a toxic physically, you know, to your body. And most nurses that we know, I have a family member who does home care. She always says to me, cuz, take care of yourself, because most of my patients are nurses. By the time we retire, we're physically not able to care for ourselves, because everything that we had, we put it on our patients because of the short staffing, because we ended up doing everything, you name it, for our patients, and at a level where we don't have enough staffing. We don't even have enough ancillary staff to help us turn and position patients. We have to do everything ourselves. And it comes to a point, nurses are saying, enough is enough. We have a staffing law. We have legislation that was passed. It's over 3 years now. It's over a year that Department of Health was supposed to take care of every solution and maintain that staffing ratios and demand that the hospitals hire and retain more nurses, and they are not doing it.
So what you're saying to me, what
they
I'm hearing...
They need to do their job.
So what I'm hearing beyond they need to do their job is put the money up. You reference the $1 million payouts to the executives. Take some of the money. Stop thinking about it in for-profit terms. And pay to have proper care in our nursing facilities and hospitals.
Absolutely. And our patients deserve it. We deserve it. We need to care for our communities. We need to, I mean, I'm standing up for those patients who are not able to speak for themselves. I am an advocate for you. I'm an advocate for every community and every patient, not only in the state of New York, in this country. We need to be able to advocate. As nurses, we are fighting for those who cannot fight for themselves. The nurses is your voice, because when you walk in the hospital, the first person you're going to see is a nurse. When you leave in the hospital, the last person you're going to see is a nurse. You're going to continue to have that interaction with the nurse. You need a nurse to keep you alive. You need a nurse to care for you, but you need proper patient nurse to patient care in order for me to continue to care for you. And we are not going to stop advocating for our patients, for our communities, for those who cannot fight for themselves. We are going to continue to do it as nurses. That's why we are the most trusted profession 20 years in a row.
Well, and the institutions, many of them in our society, including politics, education, and others, have taken a hit when it comes to trust. So trust in healthcare is something that's very, very important for its success. The issue beyond what we're talking about in terms of staffing levels, what of course includes that, is the expansion of access to care. You referenced the for-profit model, which if you have enough money, you can afford the best healthcare. So the question becomes, what about everybody else? Well, they can go to the emergency room. But that isn't really how healthcare should work, is it? Everyone should have access to healthcare. And I remember speaking with Assemblyman Gottfried, who worked for his whole career as the chair of the health committee, and suggested that we had the votes to provide universal health care in New York, but we haven't seen that.
That's right. No, we haven't. And that's what, from the beginning, I said we need a single payer, because emergency rooms should not be a place for you to receive your primary care. And I say to people all the time, I have 9 siblings, okay? I basically receive my care at Kings County Hospital in Brooklyn. I live in Staten Island. Staten Island is a borough that does not have a public hospital. So we have to take the bus from Staten Island to Brooklyn to go to the clinic for primary care, because we couldn't receive it on Staten Island. We had to go there, and also that's where somebody could translate in Creole to my parents. However, if we had the primary care, because if you have a co-payment of $60 to see a primary doctor, and you are like my parents with 10 children, then you're going to decide, should I go to the supermarket and feed my kids, or should I pay that $60 co-payment to see a primary doctor? Then I'm just going to go and feed my children, and then when I'm not feeling well, I'll go to the emergency room for primary care. Preventive care will save us money. Preventive care will save lives. If you're able to go to the doctor and monitor your blood pressure, monitor your blood sugar, get good primary dental care, because when you don't have good dental care, you could end up with a heart infection or a brain infection. If we had primary care, we had better coverage, like a single payer, we would not have a crowded emergency room.
Well, good luck with that effort in New York. We have super majorities of Democrats right now in the legislature, obviously the heads of each house and the governor, and yet we haven't seen that legislation move.
No. And again, as nurses, as advocates for our patients and our communities, we are not going to stop asking. Because when my patients walk in, I don't ask them what insurance do they have. I just dive into the work and take care of them and give them the best high-quality care that they deserve. And I truly believe every patient is a VIP. Every patient deserves the highest quality care, regardless of their race, regardless of their financial status, regardless of their immigration status, regardless, period, regardless of their sexual orientation, the highest quality care.
She is Nancy Hagans, president of the New York State Nurses Association, and you're listening to the Capital Connection on WAMC. You can find out more at NYSNA, NYSNA.org. Nancy, speaking of your website, it says here, not only have you lobbied for issues, but you also have lobbied, and successfully so, against proposals to de-skill the nursing practice, including proposals to allow nursing aides to administer medications in nursing homes, shift oversight of nursing and other health professions from the Education Department to the Department of Health. Tell us more about your position there.
Well, our position, you know, every patient deserves the highest quality care in a nurse. I mean, we've gone to nursing school. We are the profession. Before you could administer medication to a patient, you need to know the side effects. You need to know what to act and react for. So if you have somebody who, if somebody's a nursing assistant and they're not a nurse, how do you expect them to administer medication and the person might have a reaction? You need the expert. You need the expert, in other words, to take care of you. And we are the expert. We are the expert to provide medications, you know, when you can't, again, if then the people that will be the most vulnerable will be the Black and the brown community, the people that are less, more vulnerable, that are unable to afford a private duty nurse, that are not able to access the highest quality because they don't have the money. Again, we are fighting for the people that cannot fight for themselves, which are patients. And our patients deserve nothing less than the best. And they deserve for us, for me to walk in. There are times I'm walking in, I'm asked to give a particular medication to a patient, and I call up the doctor and I said, Mr. So-and-so, blood pressure is too low to receive that medication. The reason I know that, because I'm a skilled nurse. I know the side effects and I know what to look for. Can I just tell someone, you know what, go ahead and medicate this patient by not assessing. You need to assess your medications before you medicate your patient. You need to be a skilled nurse. You need to be a licensed professional that is licensed by the state of New York and went to a nursing school and know and learn about anatomy and physiology and how to care for a patient, how to look for a reaction to a medication, to know when to withhold a medication and when to call a doctor and say, you know what, the patient is not doing well today with this medication. These are the side effects that I'm finding. You cannot ask someone to do something that they're not an expert. And I say to people all the time, if you needed a brain surgery, you would not go to an orthopedic doctor. You would go to a brain doctor. So why would you ask somebody who's not an expert to perform a task that could be, you know, really bad to the outcome? So we're talking about somebody's life right there. And every medication has a side effects. You have to know what you look for, and it takes in a minute. Because once you ingest that medication, so we can't do it, and we've successfully, you know, fought for it, and we won because we have to win for our communities. We have to win for the patients. We have to make sure that our communities, you know, remain safe.
We're speaking with Nancy Hagans, president of the New York State Nurses Association. Nancy, and what about those patients who have a terminal illness, who say have, you know, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months to live? We see the Medical Aid in Dying Act before the legislature. Where do the nurses come down on that?
Well, I mean, also, too, we've all had family members that are ill that will go into hospice. I mean, it's a conversation that also needs to be had. It's a conversation that as a, you know, family, you know, healthcare to give, you know, it's not up to us to decide who should live and who should not live. You know, it's really not up to me as a nurse. My job is to nurse and care for a person at the last minute. And we believe that, you know, everyone should die with dignity and respect and still receive proper care. Just because you're dying in a couple of months doesn't mean that you don't need to be taken care of. You don't deserve to get the highest quality care. On a personal level, I had to go to it with my own husband when he had to be on hospice care in my house. But also, you know, we still wanted to make sure that the highest quality care was delivered to him.
I'm so sorry to hear that news. And, you know, so many people who are listening.
Thank you.
I'm sure, as I have as well, have had family members and friends who've suffered up to the very end. And it's, as you said, a conversation worth having, you know, before you have to make a decision.
As nurses, you know, being professional, we want to be respectful and we want to take care of the person till the last minute, the last hour, and give them the proper and peaceful and that they deserve, that every human being deserves, regardless.
Well, I'm sorry to say we're at the end of our conversation. We are out of time. Our guest has been Nancy Hagans, president of the New York State Nurses Association. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to join us this week on the Capital Connection.
And thank you for having me.
The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. You can listen to The Capital Connection anytime at wamcpodcast.org or anywhere you get your podcast. And join us again next week at this same time for another political conversation. For The Capital Connection, I'm David Giustina.
Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative.